We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Tonight is going to be interesting. We're talking about some very interesting things. First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Are we good? All right. Why is there like a echo? Can you hit the power button on the back of the soundboard?
I wasn't
trying to listen here.
That's that big button. Yeah. There it is. Cool. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or to as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. What does that mean? Somebody help me out. What's that passage even talking about? All of you. Come on. We're waiting. Come on. Cool. All right. So, this passage is talking about, yeah. Yes.
Well, a real life example, for instance, is if you don't like Obama, you can at least respect him. You know, head of state. You know, if you like him, you can still respect him.
How does that relate to this passage?
Because it says that, you know, for the Lord's sake, respect people, even if, you know, you don't necessarily agree with them.
Respect who? Yeah, parents. Yeah, me. That's a joke. Yeah, exactly. All right, so it's talking about higher authorities, right? And respecting, specifically here, it's respecting government. And he mentioned specifically the king and also governors. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about that? That the Bible says you need to respect the government and the authorities. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. What about the rest of you guys? How do you feel about this? Anybody here skater? Kind of. We don't have any skaters here today. Well, except for our two staff guys that are skaters. Okay. Does anybody care about this passage at all? It's all right if you don't. What do you think about it? You have an example? Teachers? Yeah. Totally. Anybody ever gotten a traffic speeding ticket? You better not yet. Then with the same staff member's hands up again. Guilty. Yeah, me too. How are the cops when you guys got tickets? Yeah, you specifically, because you know you're black, so. It's not an insult because he's black. That's not an insult. Is he not? I apologize if I offended you by saying that you're black. See, now you made me offend him. He's cool? Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Did you cry?
No.
Oh, because I hear that's pretty effective. I don't know. Did it? Yeah. I got that on recording, and I'm going to take that to your teacher. On Tuesday, because I'm coming to your school. Dang it. I got, yeah.
Well, for one thing, the cop was like 1 year older than I was. He acted like he was doing me a really big favor by like giving me a ticket for, I think he said that he, like, instead of writing me a ticket, I don't know. It was like on a road. I don't know.
It was on a road.
Well, it's good it was on a road.
No, I was going like 30 in a 25 zone and he pulled me over.
Did you hit a small child? Okay. Because that would have been an important detail.
Well, she
Yeah, that is true. California is bankrupt and they do need money. I got pulled over one time actually by like In-N-Out and Costco. This was lame. I got pulled over because I didn't like stop completely. And that, you know, that you come in like this way, and then the freeway on ramps on your right, or the street, and you can like see all the way up the street. And there was like a huge line of cars behind me, so I kind of like paused, but I could see like 2 miles up the street, and there was no cars coming. And so I kind of like rolled through it, and so did the person behind me. And so the cop like pulled the person over behind me, and then made them wait on the side of the road, and then got back in the car and came and pulled me over after, and got both of us. And it was just like a huge like jerk about it. And it's like, okay, yeah, like I broke the law, I deserve a ticket, that's fine, but you don't have to be a jerk about it, you know what I'm saying? Huh? It's, you know, sometimes you just have an attitude, you know? Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, like one time a police woman, she like pulled up my dad because he went like the wrong direction on like this little roundabout. No, there were no cars around, like no cars. And we were going to a football game, so, like...
Okay, go ahead, keep going.
So we were going to a football game, and my dad just wanted to, like, throw me off, and then... But if you go, like, this one way, then you had to go, like, all the way into the parking lot and get, like, stopped up for, like, an hour and then back. We didn't want to do that, so we just, like, went the other direction on the roundabout just to get out, and then the cop was right there, and she was like, hey, and then, like... And then she, like, pulled him over, and then as I was getting out, he was like, I'm sorry, I, you know, I was just trying to get out, and she was like, I don't care if you're sorry. Broke
the
law.
Yeah.
She was like really pissed about
it. Man, they woman. Yeah. I don't care. And she was like, I don't care. You broke the law. Yeah, totally. And so like when, you know, when like, you know, you'll talk to a lot of like skaters, just like, you know, people who have like run in with cops, and they'll just be like, man, I hate cops, and you know, I hate that. Blah, blah, blah. And sometimes, you know, I just got pulled over and, you know, that, when I got two, he pulled two people, or she pulled, I can't remember if it was a guy or a girl, pulled two people over and was just a jerk. And I was like, man, this just really sucks. And then, you know, and I didn't really say anything. I was just kind of mumbling under my breath when, you know, the dude would go to the other car to write their ticket and make me wait, which sucked even worse. But it's like, you know, Here it is right here, is that we need to respect our authorities. And it talks about the king or the governors. And it says, what's the governor's job? It's to, it's sent by the king to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right, which is basically like what police do, right? And so, you know, we're talking about, our government, which has been like polarizing for the last, I don't know how many years, like Bush, like, half the country loved him, nobody really around here, but then half the people hated him, most of the people around here, and then now Obama, and now like half the people hate him, and half the people love him, and some people think he's the Antichrist, because that keeps coming up here for some reason. But we're talking about this, and here's the Bible that says, you know, not only does it say to respect and submit yourselves to those authorities, why should we do that? Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. It won't be, but we'll talk about that. Why are we supposed to submit ourselves and respect authorities? Their power is from God, right? Okay. So what happens if the government asks you to do something that's against God's will? What is that? God's law supersedes man's law. God's law is respect your authority. Submit yourself to authorities. God says, submit yourself to authorities. So follow him by submitting yourself to authorities. What does it mean? Good. Help me out. Why? Okay. And you're disrespecting authority, you're disrespecting God. Now check this out. Why do we need to do, besides the fact that God established government, why do we need to submit ourselves to authority? Society wouldn't work. It'd be anarchy. It'd be pretty awesome. What does the Bible have to say about it? Check out verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. What does that mean? How do you silence the talk of foolish men by doing good? Mm-hmm. Which is? Perfect. That's good. So live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. So this is God talking to us about submitting ourselves to authorities. This is going to be a very huge theme tonight, is this submission. So talking to all of us as Christians, submit yourself to authorities. Whether they be teachers, parents, the police, Obama, Arnold Schwarzenegger, whoever. Let me ask you this. Let's take for example teachers. What if your teacher disrespects you? Or is not respectful of you? How are you to respond? Yeah. That's mighty big of you. I like that.
I'm not completely sure I could do it.
Ideally.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you guys? You guys agree with that? Anybody disagree with that? Yeah. That's awesome. Terrible. What's that box of pens? Is it effective? Are you serious?
Yeah, my my history teacher picked up a desk and put it like a year ago, not in my class.
Yeah. I knew a teacher who took off her shoe and threw it at a kid one time. There's multiple teachers who've taken their shoe off and thrown it at people? Is that common? Oh, yeah. That's right. Man, that must be fairly common, I guess. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it, but. Is it ever right, if your teacher disrespects you, is it ever right to be disrespectful back? When? Give me an example or a situation. So by yep, you meant nope? Yes.
If you're in college and you go to geology class and they say evolution is the only answer there is no God,
uh-huh. When I, when I was going into college, you know, you have to write your essays or whatever. And so for UC Riverside, maybe I've told you this already, but for UC Riverside, I wrote my essay about God. You're supposed to write it about the most influential person in your life. And I wrote it about God, and I failed that essay. And I had to take a summer course to, like, get me up to speed in English because I didn't, like, pass it. And I was like, oh, man, what the heck? Like, I thought I did, like, pretty well. I was, like, in honors English and, like, got A's in high school. Like, man, maybe I just didn't learn anything. So I got to the summer class, and, like, about a week into it, my teacher, like, called me after class, and he's like, why are you in this class? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I got a letter that said I had to be in this class. And he was like, yeah, but, like, you're not, I mean, these are mostly, like, people who are learning English as a second language, like, you do, like, speak English. And, I mean, he's like, you write, like, well enough, and, like, why are you in? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, well, I'm going to go back and take a look at your essay and just see, maybe you just had, like, an off day or something. And so, like, the next week, I came back to class, and he was like, so here's the thing, you wrote about God in your essay, and, you know, we try to keep that separate from what we're doing here, and so I'm pretty sure that's the reason you didn't pass, which is totally illegal, completely. But, so I punched him in the face, and I felt bad. I seriously did. No, I didn't. You can imagine, though. You can imagine. But I wanted to, and it wasn't his fault, right? Because, I mean, he didn't have anything to do with it, but it was just so frustrating because I was having to go. It got a little bit less frustrating because actually at the end of that week, he's like, you know what? Because it was a 6-week class and we're 2 weeks into it, and I was commuting and like an hour, and he's like, you know what? You don't need to come to any more class. I'll just give you a passing grade and you'll be fine. I was like, seriously? And he's like, yep. And I was like, sweet. So it worked out, but I, like, wanted to knock him out, or somebody, or anything, you know, if it was, like, a deer close by, I would have knocked that thing out. But I was so angry, and it made me so, and then, you know, later on that year, I got kicked out of English class for writing about God, and I got booted from a one biology class, just one class, for having a discussion about evolution and the falsity of it. And so it's like, you know, there's this line, right, of where are you respectful and where are you not respectful? Well, the reality of it is that you are, according to the Bible, you are always to be respectful. And it doesn't matter if the authority figures are, like, disrespectful to you, Wet Willie, you know, like, whatever. you got to be respectful. So I can kind of do whatever I want to Nolan. He's got to be respectful because we're reading that right now. It's all good. Yes. So what this is not saying is that you have to follow along everything that the government or whatever authority figure says, right? This is not saying that. But it does say, submit yourselves unto them. So take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for example. How did they handle the situation? You guys remember that story? Right? What was the law that they broke? They broke the law. They didn't bow down to the statue. Why was that okay? Worshipping false idols. So what happened to them? They got thrown in the... Did they fight back? They stood up and what did they do? They said, we're not going to do it. It's wrong, right? Did they fight back? Did they struggle? No. They got thrown in a fiery furnace. They happened to live. So is there ever a situation where an authority figure, your parent, or... that one's hitting too close to home. We'll back it off to teacher. Still hits home, but, you know. What if they're disrespectful? Is there ever a situation where the Bible says it's okay to be disrespectful back? Let's look at Jesus. The temple. Thank you for whispering. She said, what about Jesus when he overturned the temples? Or the temples? The tables at the temple. Seems pretty disrespectful, right? What? Yeah. That's not a special case, but an interesting case because there are some interpretive issues going on there. So overturning tables of people who are doing something wrong, maybe not bad, but it says he makes a whip, right, and drives them out. Most scholars these days think that, and there's some literary reasons why and some other stuff, think that the driving out was driving out the animals with the whip, not the people. He wasn't beating people over the head with the whip, which I thought was the case, and that would have been awesome. But it's not the case. And the other thing that's going on there, most likely, is does anybody know where all these tables were set up in the temple? Or also known as the what?
The market, according to them.
According to them, the market. No.
Praetorium.
Ooh. You guys are genius. The Gentile court. It's the court of the Gentiles, right? You guys are getting like some crazy knowledge right now. So this is the court of the Gentile. And so part of what Jesus was doing there in the cleansing of the temple was he was including us, assuming most of us aren't Jewish, including us in the kingdom. So we already kind of feel like we're part of the kingdom, and because we have all this history, we have all these other texts. But what he was doing was saying, you've made the court of the Gentiles separate from the temple, and you've made it a marketplace and desecrated it, kind of making the Gentiles lesser than you guys. Part of what he's doing is he's overturning temples, and he's saying, they're not lesser. This is part of the temple. They're welcome in also. Crazy stuff going on. But Jesus on the cross. How did that all go down? Where did Jesus resist there? How about from the get-go when he's in the garden when the army comes? He didn't. Who did? Peter. What did he do? He cut off an ear, which is what I would have done also. Maybe I would have gone for an arm. Jesus heals it and he says what? Put the sword away. Then what happens? He gets taken to court. They bring all the charges against him. What does he say? He says nothing. deal. He says nothing. And then, was it Pilate? Who said, don't you know that I have the power to give you life or give you death? What does he say? He does say something there. He says, you only have the power that God has given you. What about when they put bags over his head and they beat him? What did he do? Crown of thorns. What did he do? Made him carry his cross all the way to the hill. What did he do? Carried his cross all the way to the hill. What about when they nailed him to the cross and they stood below it and they looked up at him and said, if you are the Son of God, come down from there. What did he do? He did something then. What did he do? He prayed for them. And he said, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. There's not a situation when someone is disrespectful in authority over you where it's okay to be disrespectful back as a Christian. Check it out. We're going a little further. Verse 18. Slaves, you guys, I kind of feel like high schoolers are the closest thing to slaves we have on the peninsula. So this is basically you guys. Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Not only, check this out, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this, check this out. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. What is this saying? What are slaves supposed to do? Slaves are supposed to break free and get their own freedom. No, it doesn't say that. Slaves are supposed to be slaves. Slaves are not only supposed to just be slaves, but slaves are supposed to be good slaves. And even when they're being beaten and whipped, slaves are supposed to be good slaves. What's going on here? Is Peter saying that slavery is okay? Is he? Why not? Kind of sounds like that. How is he not saying it's okay? Don't you feel like if he thought it wasn't okay, he'd be like, Christians, like, mount up and free the slaves. If you're a slave, try to get away so you can be a Christian out in the world. Yeah. Good. Pretty widely, basically everybody accepts this is talking to actual slaves about their. Because I mean, it talks about if the masters are harsh and they beat them, still be good slaves. Yeah. Nero. You guys remember Nero? We talked about this. He burned down Rome, and then what did he do? He blamed it on the Christians, and then what did he do? No. Persecuted the Christians. How? You guys remember as we talked about this the very first week we started this? He lit them on fire as candles in his garden when he had evening parties. What else? That would be a really morbid party. Like, ooh, little appetizers and a burning person. Stop screaming, dude. You're ruining the party. You know, like, that's just, that's bad. He drug them behind chariots all around the city until they died, until they fell apart. Christians. This is who Peter's talking about, right? He's talking about government. So if you think Obama's the Antichrist, I mean, Christians. What? Oh, man. No, I got you. No, that's fine. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is what's going on, and this is who Peter's talking about. So when he's talking about slave masters, he's talking about slave masters who beat their slaves, and he's saying, you still be a good slave. You still submit to your master and do it respectfully. Why would he say that? And why would he say that to the people he's writing this to who are living under Nero? Why would he say these things? Yeah.
It made the people who are actually Christian, like, hardcore Christians. You wouldn't just say, like, I'm a Christian because you'd be, like, you'd be in danger of dying. So it made all the people who were truly Christian, like, truly hardcore.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also think the people that are being, you know, mean to you, less well, in a situation where they're being mean to you, like, I think they expect you more to fight back than to deal with it. So that. They don't expect you to, like, you know, they expect you to, like, fight back, and maybe sometimes some people won't.
Mm-hmm. Check this out. This is the model that we have. Verse 22. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You get that? This is the thing. He's talking about these relationships with people who are in authority and people who are under authority. And he's saying, you who are under authority, submit yourselves to that authority. Even when you're being mistreated, submit yourself to that authority. Even when your teacher is grading you unfairly, submit yourselves to that authority. Even when your mom and your dad is just being so annoying and unfair, submit yourselves to that authority. Why? Because you're supposed to seek first what? The kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then what? All these things will be added unto you. God takes care of the rest. The reason that you're supposed to submit yourselves to authority is because they have no authority over you except for the authority that God gives them. And so you're supposed to seek first God's kingdom and let God fight your battles for you. That is one of the most difficult things to do in Christianity. If somebody hits you, want to hit them back or cry and then hit them back. We're supposed to what? Turn the other cheek. Somebody steals your skateboard from the high school room, that would make you mad, hypothetically speaking. What are you supposed to do? Give them your bike also. I don't know. I was trying to go with the cloak tunic, you know. Somebody takes your cloak, give them your tunic also. Somebody kidnaps you and takes you a mile down the road. What do you do? No, you call the police and be like, dude, somebody kidnapped me. You go the extra mile with them. That's a bad example. Don't do that. If somebody kidnaps you, you call the police. Why, though? It's because God is the one that's in charge of everything and everyone. God is the authority that's the authority of your authorities. Somebody quote me on that, so I can make sure it makes sense. Seek first the kingdom of God, and let God fight your battles for you. We don't really have much time, so I'm just going to throw this out there, and maybe we'll pick it up again next week. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wives. This is called Hostefeln. It's German. Find someone who's German and ask them what it means. Hostefeln. Also included in Hostefeln is Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 and 6. Check it out. Wives. In the same way as what? Slaves. In the same way as what else? Of Christ. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, that sounds good. All the guys, yeah. What was that reference again? What do you think about it? Why? Sexist? Yeah, it does say that. Fellas, what do you think about that passage? For the ladies? For the men? Okay. What else? What do you guys think about that passage? Are you listening at all? Hey. Yeah. What do you guys think? Of course. What do you guys think about that? I'll put you on the spot. Don't. All right. That was pretty wise. We could pull that one out of your butt. Ladies, what do you think? Yeah.
Well, my translation's a little bit different.
Okay.
Well, kind of. It says she may be weaker than you are, but she's an equal partner in God's gift of new life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, I don't know.
What do you think about wives being submissive? First of all, I need to say this real quick. Ladies and fellas, this does not mean that all women need to be submissive to all men. So all of your get-in-the-kitchen jokes, they're not Christian, so I'm just telling you that. They're probably anti-Christian, and they're not funny. So We should probably leave them. Leave them out. So, it does not say that. It does say wives submit to your husbands. It does not say women submit to men. Women, keep that in mind, especially when you're dating. Kick them and run. I'm being serious here. Kick them and run. Do it now. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so I had a friend who was married, and her husband was beating her and stuff, and the church, using this verse, cited it as something like encouraging her to stay in an abusive relationship, and her husband kept on beating her and beating her and beating her. And I think eventually she ended up getting a divorce. But she and her kids got like really beat up in the process, and so I know that it says to submit. But at what point does it seem like, you know, people are kind of held, like, accountable for their sins, or, like, for the sin of, like, you know, physically abusing children and stuff? It doesn't, it's hard. So at what point would it be, like, taking action, especially to protect your children, be, like, just, like, not be considered disrespectful, or, like, not submitting to authority, or, like, I don't know.
Absolutely. You want to?
The verse I was talking about before was like you know, like if somebody who has authority over you, if they're like doing something legitimately wrong, it's not really right anymore to like, you know, follow them.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's really striking is I kind of been doing some work with like the Center for Relationship Abuse at Stanford, and talking to my little sister, she went to Africa this past summer, and looking at like domestic abuse statistics and stuff, there's no variation. The same percentage occurs within families in which the partners are like Christian or non-Christian or Muslim, and so according to statistics, it like, doesn't make a difference, which is kind of frightening when you think about what God should be doing in people's lives, you know, that that shouldn't happen in that view. So I don't know. What do you do about that?
I was thinking, it's a wife submitted, but I think also that husbands should love their wives as the church. So I was assuming it's like, be submissive, but then also your husband should be, you know, loving you as Christ loves the church.
Yeah. Very tough issue, huh? Lucky for you guys, I'm not going to answer anything today because we're out of time. And so next week we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this. So I want you guys to go back and read this. 1 Peter 3:1-7. And ladies, come to grips with it. Come back and we'll talk about it next week. Fellas, come to grips with it because it's got big implications for us also. So next week, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Cool? But before I close this in prayer, I do want to say, if there is somebody in here who's got an issue that's pertinent to this, and it's kind of urgent, if somebody's being beaten, or somebody's being abused verbally or physically, or if there's just a big issue in maybe one of your families, one of your friends' families, and this would really help give some insight into it, come talk to me tonight. Come talk to me this week. Call me up. Facebook me, text me, whatever you need to do, and I'll talk with you about it some more. Or if you just want to talk it through before we get to next Wednesday, come chat with me about it, and we'll do that. So let me close this in prayer, and I got a couple quick announcements, and we'll be good to go. God, I want to thank you for this night. Thanks for a chance to come and to worship you through music. God, I pray that as we come here and as we worship you through music, that we would really just open our eyes to who you are and what you've done for us. God, I pray that as we sing, that we'd really sing the words from our hearts. And that we would really just be worshiping you and praising you. God, thanks for the gifts that you've given so many people in this room musically. And God, thanks that even for those of us who are not gifted musically or vocally, that we can still worship you. Even if we sound terrible to ourselves or the people around us, it still is just a sweet sound to you. So thank you for that. God, really difficult passages about submission tonight. God, I know that we as a society, me as a person, I just have a difficult time with this concept. It's so hard to be submissive when pride gets in the way, when you're being mistreated, when you feel like you're more qualified than people who are in authority over you. Whatever the case, God, it's just really hard. God, help us to understand this more and more. And God, help us to be submissive to the authorities that you have put over us, whether that be government, or teachers, or parents, or whatever the case may be. And God, I pray this week as we go on, thinking about this next passage that we just brought up today, I pray that you would enlighten all of us, show us insight into who you are, show us insight into how you want us to live, especially as husbands and as wives, when we get there, most of us. And God, we trust you, and we thank you that we don't have to fight against the authorities. We don't have to rebel aggressively against authorities, because you'll fight our battles for us. You'll take care of us. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your great love for us, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.